Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our time of prayer and scripture. Glad to have you with us. Invite others to come on in and leave any prayer intentions you wish to share with us in the comments. Let's put ourselves in his presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we welcome you into our lives. We put ourselves in your presence now, acknowledging you as the source of all truth. Truth that we seek to drink of. Truth which is, along with the Eucharist, our bread of life. Truth which impels us to defend life. Truth which consoles us in sorrow, challenges us to see our sins, and brings us the consolation of forgiveness. Give us repentance and forgiveness. Give us zeal to preach the gospel. And may we now understand your word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, today in the Acts of the Apostles, we have the story of the conversion of St. Paul being proclaimed around the world. So let's read this reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belonged to the Way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice, but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him that he might regain his sight." But Ananias replied, "Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to imprison all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name." So Ananias went and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, "Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately things like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, got up, and was baptized. And when he had eaten, he recovered his strength. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Consistent with what we told you yesterday about the Spirit going into Philip to co-catch up with the carriage that had the eunuch in it and explain the word instead of the Spirit speaking directly to the eunuch, you have a similar thing here. If Jesus already appeared directly to Paul, and now the Spirit could go to Ananias to send him to Paul, Why didn't the Spirit just go to Paul? Well, obviously, again, the Lord Jesus has established his church in such a way that we minister to one another and we have certain authority from Jesus. Certain people have certain gifts and responsibilities for the proclaiming of the word and for the pastoring of the people. That's one point. Secondly, notice Paul's special role. He ended up writing much of the New Testament. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He ended up proclaiming the word in so many places, including before the Gentiles, first of all, and then kings. And remember, Paul was preaching the gospel even when he was held in custody in Rome, and he proclaimed it to the Roman authorities. But all of this privileged role to be proclaiming the gospel and bringing so many people to faith and to the Holy Spirit. Notice, God was already talking about this to Ananias before Paul was even baptized. In other words, this was nothing that Paul earned. He didn't earn it after, you know, becoming a Christian and then doing all sorts of good things. And then God said, okay, now you've proven yourself. I'm going to reward you with a special position of ministry. No, it was God's choice right from the beginning to do this. God's call, evident in Paul's life and evident right from the moment that he was sending Ananias to him to give him the gift of baptism. And then we see, of course, in this marvelous story, Jesus is there in everyone that we persecute. And Jesus is there with everyone who is persecuted. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Jesus is in us. Paul was going to seek out believers. Jesus is in the believer by faith. We are the body of Christ. This experience, it's so easy to understand how Paul would later write so eloquently in 1 Corinthians, for example, about how we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Well, look, he saw that from experience. Individually members of it, as Paul is writing that, is he not thinking about the individual members of the body of Christ that he was imprisoning, that he was helping to kill? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Because the people who follow me are members of my body. One of the most powerful ways to get a deeper understanding of much of the scripture is to understand whenever you see Jesus mentioned or taught about, think about the whole Jesus. Who is the whole Jesus? Well, it's the head, Christ Jesus who died and was raised again, and the members, all of us, who are incorporated into him by baptism and faith. And when you keep that in your mind, so many verses of the scripture take on a whole new meaning. I'll give you one simple example. Paul says, Christ once raised from the dead will never die again. Death has no more power over him. Over whom? Jesus, obviously. But not just Jesus, the individual. Jesus, the church. Jesus, the body. The head and the members together. Death has no more power over him. Which, of course, brings out the truth of the Easter season that this is a victory shared by us all. Let's pray for the Pauls that are still in our midst. Let's pray for the, I've helped on their journey many abortionists. Many abortionists who have had St. Paul experiences. Sometimes when looking at the very arms and legs that they were dismembering from the babies, even though they had seen them 1,000 times before. Just like Paul had seen the Christians who knows how many times before. And nevertheless, at that moment, there was a light. There was a grace. They saw something they didn't see before. You know, I ministered to Norma McCorvey. I ministered to Bernard Nathanson, Dr. Nathanson, who founded the abortion industry. I ministered to these people directly. It reminds me of St. Paul every time. The grace is real, brothers and sisters. The conversions do and can and will continue to happen. Let's be ready to welcome them. Let's be ready to minister to them. And let's constantly pray for more of them. Amen. Father, we see here the power of the resurrection. Not only to unite many believers to your Son, Jesus, in his one body, but also that power of the resurrection which breaks the power of evil to stop in their tracks, quite literally, those who are persecuting the church. Lord, we have in our political life today forces that are literally persecuting the church. They don't want us to have religious freedom. They don't want us to be able to live our conscience or apply our faith in the public square. They don't want the name of Jesus preached in the streets or in the public schools or in businesses or in the halls of government. We have a political party today, Lord, the Democrat Party, which is excluding mention of you, even at Easter events. Excluding mention of you, even trying to limit faith-based groups from witnessing to their faith. Save us, Lord God, from this persecution, and bring a St. Paul moment for all who are in leadership everywhere, in the government, and yes, some in the church, who need this kind of St. Paul conversion. And Lord, meanwhile, as you give graces as you see fit, in the timing that you see fit, let us nevertheless patiently keep sowing the seed and watering the soil by our own prayer, preaching, and example. Let us water the soil, Lord God, of a culture of death, that it may be transformed into a culture of life, and that the land may no longer be stained by the blood of innocent babies or of any innocent life. We sum up our prayers now, including everyone's needs and intentions, in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray to our Heavenly Mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thanks, friends, for joining me. Bring others in. Invite others to see these programs, but if they may not be aware of them, because remember, some people only you can reach, only you can bring in. And I'm sure they'll appreciate it. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.